Genealogy by Tim, Season 4, Episode 5, recorded June 1st, 2024. This is the May episode of Genealogy by Tim, but I'm recording it on June 1st. Didn't quite get around to it last week. I wanted to do a Memorial Day episode. Memorial Day is that day where we honor soldiers who died during the service. So I've chosen for the month of May to do an ancestor spotlight on Edward Cline Donnelly, who was born on January 31st, 1890, and died overseas in Prothoy, France. That's coming up on Genealogy by Tim. Monday, June 27th was Memorial Day. I typically like to visit Philadelphia's National Cemetery on Hayne Street at Limekiln Pike on Memorial Day to honor veterans by taking pictures of gravestones and posting them to Find a Grave. I did not do that this year due to bad weather, but maybe I'll spend a couple hours out there this afternoon. I don't know. Another thing I contemplated doing last weekend was posting this episode of Genealogy by Tim about a fallen soldier. That too was delayed, but it comes to you today, and the soldier I've selected for this month's spotlight is David Cline Donnelly. He was born January 31st, 1890, died in Prothoy, France. 1918, he was a World War I veteran. And this was the first person in my genealogy research whose death I found to be overseas as a result of the war. So he's one of those that I remember most. And in my research, I've been blessed or lucky not to have found too many soldiers who died in battle. There's a lot of veterans whom we honor on Veterans Day, but there aren't so many killed in battle. I could probably count possibly on one hand that I can think of. But the first one of those whom I discovered was David Cline Donnelly, and I discovered him all the way back during my first trip to Lancaster, which occurred all the way back in 2010, some 14 years ago. I went to Millersville Mennonite Cemetery in search of the gravestone of my grandmother's great-grandfather, David H. Cline. I was able to find him at Millersville Mennonite Cemetery, and buried alongside him was his daughter, Catherine Donnelly, and her son, David Cline Donnelly. That gravestone is visible on Find a Grave. The inscription reads, David K. Donnelly, born January 31st, 1890, died in the service at Prothoy, France, December 16th, 1918. Rest in hope. It also identifies his service with Company J of the 304th Engineers, American Expeditionary Forces. And that was the first time in my genealogy research that I saw on a gravestone this person died in the service. So I am honoring him today on the podcast, doing an ancestor spotlight. David Donnelly was the first cousin of my great-grandfather, William Pud Harrison III. His mother, that is, my great-grandfather's mother, Cora Cline, was the sister of David Donnelly's mother, the former Catherine Cline, who married Edward H. Donnelly in Lancaster. Cora Cline came to Philadelphia, and that's how her branch of the family came to be Philadelphian. Cora Cline married William Pickersgill Harrison Jr. in Lancaster in 1897, and the couple moved to Philadelphia. William P. Harrison Jr. was already Philadelphian, but she was the only one of the family to move to Philadelphia. She had seven sisters and a brother, all of whom remained in Lancaster, and one of those sisters was Catherine Cline, who married Edward Donnelly. But that marriage didn't last. Mr. Donnelly was either some sort of adventurer or prospector. He moved out west to a place called Ouray, Colorado, which is beautifully nestled in the Rocky Mountains. And I reported on this back in episode 1 of season 3, where I read a clipping from the Lancaster New Era, December 28, 1897, and it reads, "Ed H. Donnelly, formerly of this place, but now of Ouray, Colorado, sent to Mr. David Klein of Kleinsville a pair of mammoth Texan steer horns. A letter accompanying them said that while rounding up a herd of cattle, this beast had attacked him, and it was a fight to the death between them. The horns measure 3 feet, 3 inches across. They have been mounted by a Lebanon firm." So Mr. Donnelly was on good terms with his father-in-law, Mr. David Klein, for some years, but eventually Catherine divorced him. And I didn't know much of what happened to Mr. Donnelly after his divorce from Catherine, but in preparing for this episode, I discovered on newspapers.com that David Donnelly, son of Catherine and Edward Donnelly, paid a visit to his father in December of 1913. In the December 10th, 1913 edition of the Lancaster New Era, the personals section reads, "Mr. David K. Donnelly has gone to Germantown to visit his father, Mr. Edward Donnelly." David would have been about 23 at the time. And I don't know if that Germantown refers to the Germantown neighborhood of Philadelphia, which is very close to where I live, or to some other Germantown. I believe there's a Germantown in Tennessee somewhere. But I never knew quite what happened to Mr. Edward Donnelly. If he did, in fact, live in Philadelphia, then that opens up some research opportunities for me here. But now I know that he was alive as of 1913. I don't know much else about the young life of David K. Donnelly. I do know that at the age of 21, he and his sister, Serena, purchased the house at 591 North Plum Street in Lancaster City. Lancaster New Era of June 24th, 1911 reads, "For B.D. Zook and Son, the last one of the Philadelphia-style houses, number 591 North Plum Street, was sold to Serena M. Donnelly and David Klein Donnelly for $2,450. Zook and Son have erected in this particular neighborhood over 60 houses the past year, which are now entirely sold." So David bought the last house with his sister, and I know later on from census records that their mother, Catherine Klein Donnelly, and grandfather, David H. Klein, eventually did also live at that address. And I don't hear much about David Donnelly again until his draft into World War I. That was reported in the Lancaster Intelligencer on May 15, 1918, in an article titled "Names Announced of 113 Draftees Who Leave May 25th. So we only had about 10 days notice. You get your name called, and then 10 days later, you are off to the draft. The Lancaster News Journal of May 27th, 1918, reported on the departure in an article entitled "Draftees Given Great Goodbye. Crowds Line the Streets to Cheer Selectmen Who Entrained for Training Camps." Nearly 300 selectmen, I'm reading here from newspapers.com, of Lancaster made their departure for training camps amid cheers and patriotic demonstrations of all kinds Saturday morning. "It was the largest contingent of draftees that has ever been sent from here. Each and every man, having just attained the prime of life, wore on his face an expression of patriotic fervor and enthusiasm. An enthusiasm that is transformed into grim determination when our boys are given the order to go over the top and give 'em hell after they have arrived in the trenches over there in quotation marks." Over there was a common rallying cry among the Americans. There was a song written with those words. Perhaps you may be familiar with it. "The embryo soldiers," I'm continuing, reading from the article, "had to force their way through the greatest crowd of people that ever lined the streets of this town to bid farewell to its soldiers. Thousands of people participated in this remarkable and memorable demonstration. The railroad station was thronged with a multitude of people. A thunder of cheers marked the departure of the train from the station, and the three bands blared out the national anthem." And the article continues this way. So there was a celebration and fanfare of the departure of the draftees who were called some 10 or so days earlier. We next hear about David Donnelly in a newspaper snippet from June, the Society pages of the Intelligencer Journal, June 18, 1918, report that Mrs. Kate Donnelly of 591 North Plum Street has just returned home from visiting her son, David K. Donnelly, of Camp Meade, Maryland. So that tells us where David underwent his training, but we don't hear from him again in the pages of the Lancaster newspapers in the year of 1918. He died in 1918, and as I searched newspapers.com in that year, I was confused. I thought, well, we heard about him being selected. We heard about him going off to war, going off to training. We heard about his mother visiting him in June, but where was the notice of his death? But notice of his death had been delayed and was not reported in the newspapers until the following year, January 1919. The most detailed account of David Donnelly's death was reported on January 31st, 1919 in the Lancaster New Era. It reads, "Confirmation received of a soldier's death. Private David K. Donnelly was victim of influenza in a French hospital." And there's conflicting reports. There had been other newspaper items that identified cause of death as pneumonia, but in either case it was illness, not gunshot wound or explosion or anything like that. It was not on the battlefield. The article reads, "Mrs. Catherine Donnelly of number 591 North Plum Street has received a letter from Captain Gordon H. Fernold of Company D, 304th Engineers, AEF, American Expeditionary Forces," which reads as follows. "It has become apparent that for some reason you have not been notified of the death of Private David R. Donnelly, number 3106969, Company D, 304th Engineers. I regret exceedingly that it is my duty to notify you of his death on September 16th, 1918. Private Donnelly was sent to a hospital from Koblenz, France, on September 5th, 1918, at a time when the company was afflicted with a siege of Spanish influenza." So here there's a conflict between the date in the letter, which is September 16th, 1918, and the date on the gravestone, which is December 16th, 1918. I'm not quite sure which one I should consider the official date. But the article continues, "I was in the hospital at Pronthoy with the same disease, and just before leaving there, I went to the ward where a great many of my men were. I remember distinctly speaking to Private Donnelly, asking him how he felt, and seeing him smile as he answered that he was feeling very good. Private Donnelly, although with the company but a short time, was well liked, and I have no doubt with longer acquaintance with the company and military duties that he would have become a very efficient soldier. It is unfortunate that war must be the cause of so many young men giving up their lives, but without such sacrifices on the part of many, it would not have been possible to have achieved the results which the Allies have accomplished. Here you have my sincere sympathy, and I deeply regret that I was not able to bring back Private Donnelly and all the original men upon our return to the United States. Yours sincerely, Captain H. Fernold, Captain Engineers, USA." And the article concludes, "Private Donnelly was a former employee of the American Express Company in this city." So that is the most complete account of the death of David K. Donnelly, which it does say in the article David R. Donnelly, but I believe that to be a typographical error. An account of the death published on January 27th, 1919, a few days earlier, read as follows. "David K. Donnelly of 34th Engineers, victim of pneumonia." Another Lancaster soldier connected with the 304th Engineers has passed away in France, he being David K. Donnelly. Mrs. Catherine Donnelly on number 591 North Plum Street has been in receipt of a telegram from Adjutant General Harris informing her that Private Donnelly died of lobar pneumonia on September 16th. The young man was a member of Company D, 304th Engineers, and he left Lancaster May 25th last for Camp Meade. He would have been 29 years old on Friday of this week. When in Lancaster, Donnelly was employed by the Lancaster Gas, Light, and Fuel Company. He was a grandson of David K. Klein, which should read David H. Klein, formerly superintendent of the county almshouse. He is survived by his mother and a sister, Serena. So this snippet was interesting in identifying David H. Klein, the grandfather of David Klein, as superintendent of the county almshouse, and this is a fact about the elder David Klein that I did not know. I'm not certain, but I believe they may be referring to the Lancaster County House of Employment, also known as Old County Hospital Building Number 1, which is a very large, very old building on the outskirts of Lancaster City, built between 1799 and 1801, according to Wikipedia. That may be the almshouse that it's referring to, although I'm not entirely sure about that, and it warrants further investigation. So, the grandson, David K. Donnelly, died of illness in Prothoy, France. It appears to be September 16th, 1918, although the gravestone at Millersville Mennonite Cemetery reads December 16th. But David Klein Donnelly's story did not end there. His memory was preserved, along with those of 13 other soldiers, in a park in the 6th Ward of Lancaster City, which was dedicated on June 27th, 1927. This is the 6th Ward Soldiers Memorial Park on Ross Street at the northeast end of the city. The Lancaster Online website reported back in November of 2022 that the park had been rededicated with a memorial erected, and inscribed on that memorial are the names of 14 soldiers from the 6th Ward of Lancaster who died in the service in World War I. And Lancaster Online has pictures of the memorial and its dedication. And I can read to you the inscription on the memorial. It says, "The 6th Ward Soldiers Memorial Park, established 1927, in honor of those men from the 6th Ward who died in World War I. Private Michael D. Veal, Private David K. Donnelly, Corporal Landis K. Groff, Private John Keller, Private Julius M. Lyons, Private Frank M. Ruth, Private J. Harold Snyder, Private Thomas Deasley, Private Frank L. Fagan, S2C, Martin Hurst, Private Horace N. Keeley, Sergeant Peter G. Miller, Corporal Roy H. Schenck, and Charles O. Weitzel." And the article explains some of the history of the park, and I'm reading from Lancaster Online. It says, "Tucked away among dozens of homes and businesses on a triangle-shaped block in the city's northeast, 6th Ward Park was established 95 years ago, as of 2022, to honor the memory of soldiers who served in World War I and provide neighborhood children with a place for sports and recreation. 14 of those soldiers were memorialized on bronze plates attached to trees planted several years after the Great War ended in 1918, their names offering a reminder of the sacrifice made so people can enjoy a day at the park. The trees memorializing the soldiers flanked an area of the park known as the Walk of Honor. But in the decades since the bronze plates were attached to the trees, all the plates disappeared. And while no one is sure what became of them, a group of neighbors wanted to make sure anyone who goes to the park understands its significance." And one of those neighbors, Tom Brooks, is interviewed in the piece, and it says, "I figured if these men went off to war for us and died, the least we can do is respect their memory." Brooks teamed up with fellow Hamilton Street neighbors, Jack Tracy, Chris Thompson, and Kelsey Waller, to purchase a granite memorial stone with the names of 14 local soldiers etched into it. The group held a dedication ceremony at the 680 East Ross Street Park, which was open to the public. "We believe these men might have been members of some of the organizations in their community, and when they didn't come home from the war, the community decided to honor them and did this to remember their sacrifice," said Tracy, 61, talking about why the park was created. "For me, this memorial is about preserving the history of the park." Tracy said, "It is something we needed to do, and I've been thinking about for 4 years, but finally it got done." So, I have not yet planned my summer. It's been quite busy at the school. I have 2 weeks left of teaching, and then I get to unwind and relax, plan my trip to Lancaster. But my very first stop will be to the 6th Ward Soldiers Memorial Park to visit and photograph the monument recently erected to honor the fallen soldiers of the 6th Ward who died during World War I, including David Klein Donnelly, the first cousin of my great-grandfather, William Pud Harrison, and walk among the trees that originally contained the bronze plaques placed by those who knew David Donnelly and wanted his memory preserved. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my Memorial Day offering this year. It's come a week late, but it's never too late to remember. Next month on the podcast, which is later this month on the podcast, I should have completed all of my Mumma transcriptions, and I should have some plan what I'm doing this summer to do what I love to do, which is genealogy research. Until then, keep on digging, people. Your next family history adventure awaits. Thank you.